to the Kings and the Pelicans drapes. I'm wondering how many Kings fans are going to be in that building. I don't know. It's too bad we didn't organize something because I was checking tickets today. You've probably looked at them. You could get in the lower bowl there for tomorrow night for under $50.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Why not do the show from down there? Like, we hop on a flight, head down to New Orleans, right? And take over that thing.
I know.
I do know several people making the trip down.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they're not in the media or anything. They're just Kings fans, and they're hopping on the plane, and they're on their way to New Orleans today to get ready for tomorrow's game.
I can get you upstairs, not the greatest seats, but, you know, upstairs, kind of corner of the court, $12 or $13.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. Like I said, they're not very good seats, but it's...
But you're in the building, and you have somewhere to sit.
Yeah. Courtside. The courtside is like, you know, it's a lot, but $400 or $500.
That's it?
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot,
exactly.
You know, for that?
Yes.
A play-in tournament game, chance to get to the playoffs? We may take over that building.
I don't think they have Pelicans fever in New Orleans.
No. Is there a Reddit group that we can look at? Kings Reddit or something like that? You sure nobody's planning...
I'm not going down there or anything.
That would be massive to go down there. No, you know, New Orleans is a Saints town anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, basketball is just something to kill some time until football. There's a reason why they've lost six straight at home. There's a reason why their home record was, what, 21-20? I think it is. Uh-huh. They don't have a home court advantage. And I watched, you know, when you watched them against the Lakers the last two, it was silent in there. And so it's better than it was because at least now they're, you know, filling up. The people are in the building. But when I used to go there when I was with the Celtics, it would be half empty, like 5,000, 6,000 in the stands. A little bit better now, but I wouldn't be surprised if we hear some light the beam chants down there tomorrow.
Yeah. Joe Giroux sent something out to, I know Styles and Watkins were talking about it. I checked the Pelicans website. Maybe they don't have this deal going anymore. But apparently they had something going where if you buy a ticket for $25 or more, the Pelicans would also give you a fleece hoodie.
Get out of here.
No, I'm
serious. Is that for real?
That's what Chris showed me.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're desperately trying to get people in there.
Wow, that is crazy. Like, you get a free hoodie. And you know how it is. Those hoodies usually cost $60 or something like that. But they're giving those away and the tickets. Yeah, it's not much of a home court advantage at all for New Orleans. No Zion. They're downtrodden. They feel beat. You know, there's issues with Willie Green benching Brandon Ingram. And so they are ripe for the pickings. But you still got to respect them. Mm-hmm. You got to handle your business.
I know yesterday we went back and forth and you were being the voice of reason.
Yes.
And Jay and I were getting pretty enthusiastic.
Yes.
I'm gravitating more towards your thinking today. I'm not saying Jay is wrong, but just we'll look at some of these numbers. They actually, in some ways, play better without those guys. It's the weirdest thing. You know?
That's scary.
No, Zion, Ingram's hobbled. All right. Then you look at the numbers like, ooh, they actually do pretty well without those
guys. Get off that box score, Whitey.
I'm telling you. It's a little daunting.
He's looking at the numbers, right? The numbers indicate, no. I mean, but here's the thing. That's one thing in the regular season, in February and December, where you're playing Detroit or something like that. But in a must-win game, you need your stars to be stars. And they're bereft, deft of stars, if you will. They don't have as many stars now.
Isn't it hard to, we were just talking on the crossover, what do you think of the Pelicans this or that? And it's so hard, at least for me, to have a clear idea of what they are. Because every time they're here, they're like, that's the best team I've ever seen.
Right, right. It looks like they've never lost a game, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, the way they feel when they play us. You know, they're trying to sun us. They're trying to own us. But hopefully tomorrow our guys will finally say, enough is enough. We're tired of getting our butts kicked. Let's go down there and get a win.
You said something yesterday I want to circle back to because I think you 100% needed to be said and needs to be reinforced.
Exactly.
All things considered, I believe – Mike Brown has done a better job this year than last year. Last year, he was coach of the year. He deserved it. He's not going to be coach of the year this year. I know that. But you look at what they went through, how they're playing now, what he has been preaching and how that's been absorbed, how he's held the team together through these difficult times and has them on the threshold of the playoffs. I think Mike Brown has done an excellent job this year.
Man, it took you what? 83 games to come out. I've been saying that all season long, Whitey. Mm-hmm. The fact that this team has dealt with the injuries, the fact that this team has dealt with the bad losses, mm-hmm. the fact that they still won 46 games in a loaded Western Conference, only two games off of their pace last year, I think he's done a hell of a job.
He has.
And here he is. He has this team. But the job's not done, Mike Brown. If you don't get it done tomorrow, then it's like, oh, man, that's, you know, right. The whole totality of it, uh-huh. we fell short. You get this team to the playoffs, I think that's an accomplishment for this Sacramento Kings squad.
What impresses me the most about it is the way all year long and last year preached about defense. We got to be tougher, more physical, mm-hmm. defense, to a point where I think we were all saying, that's not going to happen. Remember?
Right.
About
yes.
midpoint of this year, it's like,
we need to embrace the offense,
yeah,
Mike.
It's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
But he wouldn't relent, and here they are. It appears they're at a point here where they're actually playing that way.
Yeah, and give him some credit, man, because, you know, even with the spray three situation, I'm tired of hearing about spray threes, but he has not deviated.
That's so funny, the way that bothers you.
Nah, just because, man. He said it in game one. He said it in game 50. Now he's saying, but he has never deviated from what he wants from this team.
Yes,
that's the thing. The message has been very clear, publicly and privately. You know, you know your assignment. You know what you're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed, how you're supposed to execute. And to me, that's a mark of a good coach right there. When the players know what's expected of them each and every game. And he has not deviated from that. He didn't say, oh, man, we're just not going to be good at defense, so screw it. No, he said, no, he's challenging the guys. And I go back to last year, midway through the season, when he challenged Keegan Murray to become a better rebounder, when he challenged Kevin Huerter to become a better rebounder as well. And that's what you want. You want coaches to want to bring out the best in the guys. It's sort of like a parent. When you look at your child, you see the potential. You see all they can become. You don't just say, ah, I guess you're just going to be a C student. You know, no, you keep pushing them so they keep striving to get better.
Yeah, he said something really interesting after the last game. Now, I know you were on the air. Did you guys run the whole – you probably didn't run his whole –
we didn't run his whole thing, yeah.
Because he was talking about how well they've defended. Mm. And, you know, that was a defensive masterpiece the last game.
Yes.
And then he's like this, and he looks down at us, and he goes, now listen, you guys, just because we defended well, we practice offense, okay? Mm. Really, and he's looking down at everybody. We do practice offense. We practice a lot of offense, all right?
See?
So I don't want to hear that I don't coach offense. It's like, whoa! It was kind of, you know, he was kind of having fun with this, but it was definitely, it's something that has been an issue with him this year, this notion that, well, we're going to work on offense.
Oh, he's heard all the talk and the chatter and everything like
that. Made that clear.
Yeah, Mike Brown's not dumb. He hears everything. And so I get it. You know, it's a thing where, you know, ideally, and we also have to remember where he came from, the Warriors system too. You know, when they were in their heyday, they were top five in both. Like, you can have both. It doesn't have to be either or. And I think that's been his message, and that's why he's still sticking with it. It's been the same thing. You know, you can play great defensively and great offensively. Sure, the defense may have taken away some of your legs offensively, but is that a Mike Brown problem? Or is that a conditioning get better problem from the player's standpoint? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We had Matt Barnes on earlier on the pre and post game show. And we were talking about Keegan Murray's improvement on defense, and this was early in the season, and how offensively his numbers, to be an elite two-way player, you got to be in tip-top condition. And I think that's something, you know, Keegan and all the guys going forward. That's what I looked at from De'Aaron Fox yesterday, the other day against Golden State. Fox looked like he could still run circles around everybody late in the game, late in the third quarter. He's in peak condition. I think to be that great of a two-way player, you have to be that way.
I thought he said something interesting today, too. He was being kidded about. Keegan says he won the dunk contest this year. And De'Aaron said, and he was joking, but he goes, yeah, he can have it. He says, I sprained my ankle like the third game of the season, so he can have it. And, you know, it's like, ha-ha, and then – whoa, we know that he's been hobbled this year, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we thought it was the shoulder and all this other stuff. I didn't know, you know, the ankle. And you know what? Guys go through things that we don't even know about.
Sure.
Guys are playing through things. And I think we need to give them a little slack, a little grace when they, you know, maybe they don't score 30 this game or five games in a row. Maybe they're just hitting a slump. Maybe they're dealing with something. And so we know De'Aaron, especially at his size and all the bumps and bruises and hits that he takes, he's going to be battling something. And the fact that He played in, what, 75, 76 games, I think it was, something like that. It's tremendous credit to him.
Now, if I remember correctly, earlier in the year, there were a couple of players. I think Davion said something and Herder, if I'm not mistaken. They said something along the lines of, you know, it's hard to defend the way they want and still produce offensively. And I think you were, I think it was you, and I think you were saying, I'm not buying that. Am I right?
What?
As an excuse, like the notion that, well, it's hard for us to score when we have to play such hard defense.
Nah, I don't buy that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know.
No one's saying that anymore.
No, because when you look at the great teams in the NBA, and that's where we're trying to get to, you know, you look at the Celtics. I talked about the Warriors during their heyday.
Right.
They were top five in both.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's doable. Don't limit our guys and put a ceiling on our guys. We're trying to get them to be great. We're trying to get them to be perennial championship contenders. And I feel like I go back to, you know, the notion of being a kid. If you accept C work and C average, you're going to get C average. If you expect this Kings team to be 20th in defense, you're going to get 20th in defense. But if you raise the expectations, then that's what you're starting to see with this Kings club.
What worries me the most about tomorrow is the rebounding.
Ooh.
Because of the way New Orleans has just destroyed the Kings on the glass this year.
No, that's 100%. Zion, and here's the thing, Zion's not a big rebounding guy. It's not like he's out there averaging 12 rebounds. The guy I'm worried about is Valanciunas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Valanciunas gobbles up rebounds against us, and he's a very physical with Domas. And so it might be one of those paint kind of games. The team that controls the paint, dominates the boards, like you said, points in the paint, wins this game tomorrow.
Stick around. Drape's takes are coming right up with the Drive Guys on Sacked Out Sports.
I mean, just a long team. Tried to get out in transition, but they shot the three extremely well against us. They shot 45% in our five games. So we have to be better at guarding, at defending the three-point line.
Yeah, last time they played, that was from today's practice, after practice, De'Aaron Fox. Last time the Kings played the Pelicans, New Orleans took 43s and they made 22 of them. Now, I know some of that's okay, the defense obviously wasn't great, but come on, 22 of 40.
Yeah, that's and they're not a great three. Like, they got guys that can make threes, but they don't have great three-point shooters. You got CJ, you got Trey. Outside of that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Herb Jones was knocking down threes against us during the season. Who else? Najee Marshall knocked down some. Who else you got on there?
Dyson Daniels. 9 for 12.
Dyson Daniels, yeah.
Alvarado was 4 for 6.
Alvarado hit 4 threes?
Yes,
what?
Yes.
Come on.
Exactly.
They got guys who can make them. They don't necessarily have shooters outside of the two guys I mentioned. And we got to do a better job. But, you know, that's been an Achilles heel for us most of the season, three-point defense. And so it's been better as of late with Keon out there in that on-ball defense. But you can't – in the NBA, if you're giving up 22 threes or a team shooting better than 40% threes, it's going to be hard to win.
What about this question from Beamer Beams or Beamly on the YouTube chat? Are we building still or are we built?
Come on, Beamer, Beams, or Beamly. You know the answer to that question. We're still building, right?
That's what Amadrox says. We're still building.
This isn't it. Like, I expect Monty McNair to shake things up this season no matter what happens tonight or tomorrow night. Yes, I think, you know.
When you say shake up, you're talking about
some trades. It won't be a running back situation. It will not be a running back. And that's no inside info. That's just my gut telling me that. I think we all see the warts on this team. And I don't think Monty McNair looks at the 82-game season that we just had and say, oh, man, if we just would have been healthier, we would have been fine. I think you see it's an arms race right now in the Western Conference. Minnesota's not going anywhere. OKC's not going anywhere. In fact, OKC may get stronger. And so, you know, Denver's going to be there. And so if you're talking about building the championship, we're not there yet. We're a 46-win team. Let's call it like it is. Even on our best day, which was last year, we were a 48-win team. We're trying to build a 55, 60-win team. And so we are still building. And it's only year two, really, of this rebuild because it's only year two of Mike Brown, year two of some of the acquisitions, really only the second full year for Domantas Sabonis in Sacramento. So, yes, we are still building.
All right, strap in. It's time for Drape's Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
It took 83 games, Mr. Whitey and Mr. J, But finally, optimism reigns supreme in the city of Sacramento. I'm driving around town. I see Kings jerseys out there. I see people in Kings hats. I'm at the store earlier today. I'm at Whole Foods. And the girl, you know, I have my Kings shirt on. She's like, do we play tonight or tomorrow? And I'm like, that's the spice and fire I need. She said, if we win tomorrow, I'm for sure buying playoff tickets. And this is the girl behind the deli counter at Whole Foods. Just her optimism, you know, the negativity is gone. This sort of reminds me, going into this game, of last year. And I think exercising those demons against the Golden State Warriors, dethroning Steph and Klay and all those guys and putting them 6 feet under, really has, like, spring has sprung here in the city of Sacramento, and I feel the optimism now and not the pessimism of Kings fans out there.
No, you're right. That's what we need is fans who don't know when the game is. Is it tonight? Tonight? That's what we need.
No, yeah. Man. Hey, a lot of people thought it was today at first. I even thought it was today.
I'm kidding.
But I'm saying, that's the kind of energy I need, though, when I'm out and about. My first 2 years here, Whitey, nobody cared that I worked for the Kings. Now they see Kings and they light up.
Uh-huh.
You know, remember, during the season, it was up and down. Carmichael, Dave, and some other people out there, oh, I can't wait till this is over. I'm not hearing anybody say that right now. Everybody's excited about tomorrow night. And so it makes me feel good that, you know, the energy is where it needs to be tomorrow going into this game.
That is pretty funny. Carmichael Dave actually said that.
Right.
Think about that. This view over.
Think about that, right? Like, unbelievable. Think about that. You know, I do want to, as I continue Drape's takes, you know, I need to go to the text line because I just saw this as I was coming on with you guys. This guy says, I love you guys very much. Somebody from the 916. But you guys moved the goalpost on this team after every single game. We were sliding as bad as anyone in the league, and then we played out of our minds against the Warriors in a great win. And then all of a sudden, the Kings are rolling because they won one game. I don't get you guys at all, honestly. Clearly, that's a closet Warriors fan. I just said in Drape's take, the positive energy is what I'm about, and this Yahoo is going to come on the text line. I appreciate the back and forth, but we don't have time for that right now. We're about to go down to New Orleans and hopefully win a playoff game. This isn't about, nobody's moving the goalposts. Are we really moving? And I will say this, even if we were moving the goalposts, 916, I'm allowed to do it because as more information comes in, I'm allowed to adjust. I had no idea the Western Conference was going to be this strong. I had no idea Malik Monk was going to go down. I had no idea Kevin Huerter was going to go down. So excuse me for being excited about a play-in game and the possibility of going to the playoffs.
I don't feel like I've moved any goalposts, but I feel like because this has been a roller coaster,
We've
been over here where it's like, wow, this looks really bleak. And then the next thing you know, you go, oh, wow, it looks pretty good right now. That's the way this whole year has been.
Right. And it's the emotions that you ride this season. And excuse me, we're up right now. We're positive. We're optimistic. We're feeling good. My third and final Drape's takes, and I'm going to look at this matchup tomorrow. For the Kings to win tomorrow, Keegan Murray has to outplay Brandon Ingram.
Ooh.
Keegan Murray can't be 12-point Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray can't be 2 of 12 Keegan Murray. I need Keegan Murray at 25 or more points tomorrow, Whitey and Jay. The dude just showed us against Golden State he can be that dude. Don't go on the road to New Orleans, have some beignets, eat some etouffee, get all fat and happy just because you beat the Warriors, Keegan. I need you locked in, big fella, and I need you to go down there and handle your business on both ends against Brandon Ingram because Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum, the only two ways this Pelicans team win. If you limit those guys, you get the win. I'm looking at Keegan Murray
tomorrow.
You
don't want Keegan hanging out at Cafe Le Monde?
No. Don't go to Cafe Le Monde. Don't get the little powdered sugar on your beignets. Don't be wearing the mask that
those
they do during
so
my
Mardi Gras. Overrated, right? I mean, they're all right. They're okay.
They're pretty
good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, but then you get, like you said,
I don't know, man.
It's like a donut hole. Like, no.
No, that powdered sugar is no joke, man. The food down there in New Orleans, the cuisine, it is top notch. But that's what I'm saying, Keegan Murray. When you hop on the plane right about now, Don't get all fat and happy and feel like you accomplished something just because you beat Steph Curry. Now you got to do it against the likes of Ingram and CJ McCollum.
Yeah, and save money. Go to Dunkin' Donuts and get some donut holes. A lot cheaper.
Bro, you can't compare to those two. But there is another restaurant right down the street from Cafe Du Monde that is like the knockoff version. Just as good. I forget the name of it. Just as good.
Keegan, by the way, in that last game against the Pelicans, 19 points, 6 of 14 floor, 5 of 10 beyond the arc. So, not bad.
Not bad.
Need more, but, yeah.
But this playoff time, I need him to be better. That's Drapes Takes Whitey. It's brought to you by Alsco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms.
Now, yesterday, somebody on the chat or somebody called you Carmichael Drapes. I don't know. Because you were like, hey, yeah, this is exciting, guys, but just let's be pragmatic. Where are you today with your pragmatism versus the optimism?
I'm optimistic. I can be both.
Sure, sure.
You can be pragmatic and optimistic.
Yeah.
Exactly. One thing I'm not is pessimistic, though. I still think we can go down there and win. I still think we will win. But from a player's mindset and from a coach's mindset, I got to respect Alvarado. I got to respect Herb Jones and Larry Nance and all those guys. I can't say to myself, ooh, Zion's out, because that's been the problem with the Kings all season long. Oh, Embiid's out. We got him. You know, so-and-so's out. We got him. No LaMelo Ball. We got him. Handle your business, Sacramento. I'm talking to you, De'Aaron Fox. I'm talking to you, Harrison Barnes, DeMontis Sabonis. I don't care if it's Anthony Davis in uniform, Boogie Cousins in uniform, Chris Paul in uniform down there
Bring
in
Rondo
New Orleans.
Back.
Right, Rondo. It doesn't matter. Handle your business down there in New Orleans.
That has been one of the discouraging things about this team this year. And I'm optimistic. But every time it looks like things are going their way, that's when things, for whatever reason, have started to unravel, right? That's a fact with this team. When it looks like, wow, this is okay, this is it. They've hit the end of the road. Then, wow, they start playing better.
Right.
And just the other way around, the opposite. They're playing Dallas, like everything's set up, here we go. And then you get the punch in the gut. So
hopefully
they've figured something out. But how many times have we said that this year?
Well, think about it. How many must-win games have they won this year? I mean, in the whole scheme of life, the only must-win was the other night.
Yeah.
But the matchups against Dallas, oh, you got to beat them. You got to win this. Oh, you can't lose to New Orleans five times in a row. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to beat Phoenix.
Yep.
A chance. And they've lost all of them. The other night was the first time that they actually came out, punched in the face in the first quarter, and kept punching and kept punching. That's how you got to be, Sacramento. So hopefully, like you said, they have turned the corner, changed the narrative now that, you know what, they do get up for big games because, once again, we got a must-win tomorrow.
And as you pointed out, that was the only true must-win game of the year. We all know this, but we didn't talk about it much. That's the first time the Sacramento Kings have won
a game seven.
A
winner take all, right?
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. A game seven or back in the day, a game five.
Uh-huh.
Yes. First
winner
time.
All.
Winner
first
take
ever.
All. Which is surprising, right? Like, though it's great, Weber teams and everything like that. So
Frankie Cardicelli is going to help us continue with the feel good vibes. Our Sacktown Sports Kings insider. How's he feeling about the game against the Pelicans? We'll find out. Frankie joins us next. Drive, guys. Sacktown. Kings setting their sights on the Pelicans tomorrow night. Can't wait. Frankie's going to join us in just a moment here. It's almost time for Ask Frankie.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, here's a good question for you, Drapes. From the 916, just curious, why wouldn't the team have traveled yesterday to acclimate to jet lag? There's not that much.
It's not that much jet lag going to New Orleans. You get there early enough. They had practice here. Why spend an extra day down there if you don't have to?
Mm-hmm.
Listening to their media. You know, it'd be different if it was, L.A. or by the beach or something. And it's not that far of a flight. You know, what, 2.5, something like that, 3 hours? They'll be fine.
And there's science on all that stuff now.
Yeah.
And I think the Kings just side with the evidence that shows you're better off staying as long as you can at home.
Right, right. Exactly. And it'd be different maybe if it was having to go to New York or Boston or something like that. But no, it's fine. It's something they do all throughout the season. So they're accustomed to it.
All right. Nice enough to join us now. Our outstanding Kings insider from Sacktown Sports. It's time for Ask Frankie. And here's Frankie Cardicelli. What's up, Frankie?
Fellas, how you guys Clicks. Doing? I'm listening in a little bit, and I hear Draves, you're hyped today, man. You're fired up. I love it, man. I love it.
Well, my problem, Frankie, is usually I'm fired up the first hour, and then I peter out there in hour two and three, and then hour four I come back up. I got to pace myself here.
Yeah, hour three, blow my you know, wife. Me and Jay are like poking him.
I know.
Like, hey, we're on the air.
Oh, man. It's because I haven't talked to anybody all day. Yeah. I haven't talked to anybody all day, so now I get to chat with you guys. I get fired up.
Hey man, that's what we're here for, right? And that's what this time of the year is about. Single elimination games, man. This is the time to get excited right now.
And listen, Frankie, I do have a card for you today before we get any further. We'll get to that. But you just tweeted about how odd the last game was between the Kings and the Pelicans. What was so odd about that game, Frankie?
I mean, it was odd just from the standpoint of it's not very often you see the Kings offense, which has been their calling card for the past season plus. They really had nobody that could bail them out of what was really one of their weirdest showings on the offensive end of the year. I mean, when you look at that box score, De'Aaron Fox, first of all, just taking 10 field goal attempts, but having 3 points. That was at the time where Mike Brown was tinkering with the lineup, so things were a little out of whack with Chris Duarte in the mix. Kevin Huerter was tied for the Kings' leading scorer off the bench. A night where the Kings, they shot 45 three-pointers. So, again, it's just a weird game or a weird match for the Kings for a lot of reasons that the Pelicans seem to just have found a way time and time again to beat this team. And that was a night as well where Zion Williamson, which the Kings will be seeing a Zion Williamless Pelicans team tomorrow night, they were without him in that game too, and they won by 33 points. So I'm not necessarily looking at that game as an issue for tomorrow. I think this is a much different Kings team. The way that they're currently built and constructed, they did not have a couple of guys in the rotation as much as they did as they do now. So just because it went bad then doesn't mean it's going to go bad tomorrow. And I'm definitely more optimistic this time around.
Frankie Cardicelli joining us here, the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports 1140. Frankie, you talked about the Zion situation and him being out. When you look at this Pelicans team with no Zion, how big is that in terms of what the Kings do defensively? Should they focus more on CJ now? Should they focus on Brandon Ingram? Like, not having to account for Zion, which to me is the guy at the top of your scouting report, sort of frees them up to do some other things with some of those other guys.
Yeah, I agree. And again, Zion, I mean, it can't be understated how big of a loss that is. First of all, 40 points the other night against the Lakers in that loss. And then again, even against the Kings a week ago, in a game the Kings were down by 4 or 5 points at halftime, Zion Williamson scored 17 points in the third quarter to kind of help the Pelicans start to create some separation. So I think when you look at the two guys that can hurt the Kings the most, one is CJ McCollum, who in recent memory has just been a thorn in their sides. I think he went 8 of 12 from 3 last week, and we all know that game earlier in the year where he told, I think it was TNT, that's why they should have drafted him, which was, I think, over a decade ago now. But
yeah.
But anyways, that's the guy you want to keep an eye on. And I think Ingram, who is still working his way back from injury, is an intriguing aspect of this game. He hasn't really been able to find his rhythm on offense. You'd hate to see him get into it tomorrow, and I hope you can send him into the summer and look to see if he can find it there. But those are the two guys, and I think you guys kind of touched on it a little bit last segment, that you don't want to let those other guys hurt you. And the Kings against the Pelicans last week, they really did let other guys hurt them that necessarily wouldn't. Like Alvarado got hot from three.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Herb Jones is a great defender, but he's not someone that's usually going to go out there and get you a lot of points or cause damage from deep. So if you can contain the other guys and focus on locking down at least one of those two in CJ and Ingram, there's not many guys that can bail the Pelicans out of trouble.
Frankie Cardicelli, let me ask you, what in your opinion is the number one reason why the Pelicans are 5-0 against the Kings this season?
I think that De'Aaron Fox is the engine that makes the Kings go. And looking at his numbers here, I mean, I'm putting together my preview for tomorrow, and I'm making a section about getting him going. This year against the Pelicans, 21.2 points per game on 40% shooting from the field, 24% from three. All of his numbers are down, even his defensive numbers. It's just not the De'Aaron Fox we all know. And if he can find his offense and get going early, whether it be by him scoring the ball or getting his teammates involved in the matter that If Keegan Murray's feeling early and Fox is able to create space and get his teammates involved, he's the key to me. I mean, he has not been himself against the Pelicans, and I think we're all kind of looking at sixth time being the charm. Maybe this will be the case for him as well. But I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox, and I'm looking at the three-point shooting again. We know this Kings team is – they live and die by the three. It just is what it is. It's who they are through 83 games. If they're on from three, they're very, very hard to beat. And the same can be said about the Pelicans as well, but that's going to be a huge aspect of this game. Who can come out on top from the perimeter? We saw what happened there tonight against Golden State, and if the Kings can find a way to slow down the Pelicans and continue to showcase even a sample of what they did against the Warriors, they're going to be in a very good spot.
Hey, Frankie, with Keegan Murray, how much of what we saw the other night against Golden State is transferable? Meaning, how much was it him being aggressive versus how much was it of him taking what the defense was giving him?
I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, he said today at practice that he feels he's been aggressive even before that game. He feels he's been looking for a shot and trying to get his spots while they navigate this time without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. But I do think the Warriors, I don't know if Keegan Murray was necessarily at the top of their list of things to be worried about, and that's no disrespect to Keegan Murray, but when you look at the Sacramento Kings, the top two players are De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, and I think that he came out shooting early, and at a certain point they did try to adjust, and it was a great night for the Kings offense where everybody had it going. But if they let him even have a couple feet or 1 foot of space against that Golden State defense, he made him pay. So I think it was a matter of he was feeling it that night and locked in, but also a matter of him not being as high as he should have been on the Warriors' pecking order on the defensive end, and he made him pay. So I think that if we can see a similar output on the aggression on Keegan Murray's end, hand in hand with a more engaged Fox, one that is better than what I've laid out before, but 21 points per game, the Kings are going to be in a very good place. But like Mike Brown said today at practice as well, he's putting his guys in the best spot he can, and he can't make the ball go in. We've seen a lot of times where Keegan Murray or other guys have open looks and they don't fall. The Kings are knocking down those open looks, and Keegan Murray was the guy that was really making those looks as well. So if Keegan can get open and get that space that he needs, he's going to have a good night again, I think.
Frankie, it was a pleasure to run into you yesterday here, and you had glasses, didn't have a chance to talk with you, but I'm just wondering, are the glasses, is that so that people don't confuse you with Coach Dagnall? Is that why you wear the glasses?
Yes. That's exactly why. We're getting through award season, and I don't want to steal his shine. He's probably going to be Coach of the Year. I don't want to steal his shine.
We may see a lot of them starting next week, so it could get really confusing.
Yes. If by some chance I'm out there in Oklahoma City, I want to make sure that they don't rush me into a press conference room and have me take the podium and have something bad happen there.
You'll be like that fake Klay Thompson guy. You remember he made his way through security and everything?
Yeah.
I think he got banned from Oracle Arena at one point.
In
the players' entrance.
I believe so. Frankie, given up the ups and downs of this season, how would you gauge, I guess, the psychology of Kings fans that you interact with on social media, in person, where this fan base is? I started off the show by saying it's all positive vibes. It feels a lot like last year to me where, there's optimism out there in the city of Sacramento. Are you feeling that too, or is there still, some pessimism regarding this team?
I think that the win over the Warriors has ignited a lot of people around me, whether it be family or friends. The most optimism I've seen for this year, certainly.
Yeah.
But even I'll say that since last year, the most optimism I've felt. I think that it was a little daunting heading into that Warriors game, and a little bit of a scar from last year's Game 7. People don't really know what to think, and I think that the 50-point game from Steph Curry was still fresh in people's minds. But seeing the Kings kind of take it to the Warriors like that and have a change of pace for a team that, like you guys laid out, 0-6 and winner-take-all postseason games, it kind of has me even as well thinking, they got that one. They're more than due against New Orleans. I'm someone who I go into things, expecting the worst, hoping for the best. It's just the way that I've been conditioned as someone who grew up in the area and watching the Kings all my life. But I'm starting to kind of feel that little push to the edge of optimism. And I am. I'd say cautious optimism is where a lot of people I've interacted with or talked to are feeling about tomorrow. I think that the Zion news, like we said, it's very weird for this Kings team that the automatic reaction when a star player is out for an opposing team is, oh no, because we've seen this Kings team fall short time and time again against those teams. So it's a weird mixture of feelings, but this team, they looked so good the other night. One of their best showings of the year, just completely across the board on both ends. And I think it came at a very good time for this team that has been forming a new defensive identity. Well, they're going to see the Pelicans tomorrow night and see if they can, like we talked about, slow down the guys that are going to be more prevalent in the offensive rotation with Zion out. But definitely feeling more optimistic than I was before, that's for sure.
It's time for Frankie Gets Carded. We give him a basketball card that reflects how we evaluate his performance, kind of like a report card. Would you agree, Drapes, that before he came on with this, because this is like the end of the season thing, we know Frankie worked really hard.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Would you agree that when the season started, maybe it wasn't exactly what we hoped, and there were some questions whether he fit our system?
Yeah, he was on his probation, you know, the 90-day probation that you get when you start at it. Yeah, he was in that 90-day probation. Yeah.
Would you agree that he turned a corner down the stretch and became a valuable part of the show's rotation?
Oh, I know where you're going right here. I know our guy, my guy. Oh, you're going with that guy.
I thought he was
going to be the Keon Ellis of because I thought we signed him to a two-way at first. I didn't know he was on the big league club to start with this.
I don't have any Keon Ellis cards. I don't even know if they're out. And this may be, I'm not sure if I've given you one of these before, Frankie, but it's a different card. I mean, you're so vital to us now after all the questions about your fit. So, yeah, Davion Mitchell, buddy, and you've earned it. Thank you for everything.
All right.
And we're just getting started here, right?
Hey, man, yeah. Hopefully next week I can come back and you can pull out some other card, maybe an obscure player from 2007 or something like before. But Davion, I'm happy to take a Davion card. He's been huge for them, and hopefully he's big tomorrow night.
Thank you, Frankie. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Let's get a W tomorrow.
All right,
Take care. Was Keon's night-night for Steph disrespectful? That's next. With the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Lot of optimism on the YouTube chat on the text line here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Drive Guys rolling on towards Friday. The Kings and the Pelicans. Late in the game Tuesday, I texted something about, I wonder if De'Aaron would drop a night-night on number 30. And I heard from a lot of Warrior fans who instantly, and they were right, a lot of them said, I don't think De'Aaron wants to lose his shoe contract, you know, so I get that.
Oh, right.
I get that. You know, so, all right. But then we had, you know, Keon post-game after he won the Defensive Player of the Game crown, and he did the night-night pose in his picture. And this is just something I heard from one Warrior fan. And fans are going to fan. This is all fine, you know. This is all part of it. But I just think this reaction is interesting. Man, shut the bleep up, you bum. Steph didn't do it to the Kings last season when he whooped them in the playoffs game 7. Say that Steph is not classy. Then you got role players like Keon Ellis doing it after winning a play-in game. Worry about your players not being classy. And I know this is very difficult for Warrior fans, but remember Steph, remember what he did?
Yes.
He did the light, the beam.
He did that.
Yes.
I mean, Steph is trolling all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so it isn't disrespectful. It's part of gamesmanship.
Yep.
Steph Curry's the one that started it.
He's
opening that box, right? And give it up to Keon for walking in and, you know, doing it right back. I love the fact that Keon did that. He should have did it during the game, actually.
Yes.
Should have did it in front of Steph. It's not disrespectful. Remember, Steph is the same guy in the first quarter of a game earlier this season who did the golf swing. You know, he hit a shot or never.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's playing to the crowd. And so Warriors fans right now, all in their feelings, deal with it. We've been having to deal with it for 17 years. Now that we're finally back on top and better than you, now they want to say, oh, you guys got to be classy. Now, forget that. Forget that. I've listened to you Warriors fans. I've seen the mentions. I've seen you on the YouTube chat. I've seen you on social media talk about Sacramento Kings fans. And now that we're up, you trying to all of a sudden raise the bar of decorum? Come on, man. Yeah. You guys are the ones that started it.
Here's another comment. Not unless he's a fool. Night-night isn't for blowouts.
But ooh.
But it would have been appropriate. It was appropriate the way that Keon did it.
You know what? He should have did it in the third quarter because that game was over then. Like,
that would have been bold. That would have been very bold.
He should have did it in the third quarter. The light the beam chance should have happened in the third quarter. Warriors fans, they have no room to talk right now. You know, first of all, Draymond Green, one of the biggest trash talkers in the history of the game.
No question.
The guy before,
and
during,
and it's
after.
True.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so they backed him there his entire career. Now we do a little night-night, and now all of a sudden, we're the bad guys? Please, Steph Curry. Man, come on, man.
Steph Curry literally invented that.
That. Exactly. When Steph does it, it's all fine. You know, I'm glad Keon did it. Like I said, I wish he would have did it in the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's interesting the way the Kings were very proud of what they did, but they were also, for the most part, after the game, really classy. We heard yesterday what De'Aaron said. So they know
they're
what
friends
they did,
with those guys. Yeah. Mike Brown, I mean, all the connections down there. They're friends with those guys. These guys are much better.
Wouldn't you love to know what HB actually would like to say about
that? To Draymond or something HB is so classy. He would never do it, but I know it had to feel good to stick it to Draymond Green. And that shot he hit over him, that little fall away turnaround, like. Oh, I wish HB just had a little bit of a I can't say the word blank hole in him, you know, because I would have stuck it to Draymond.
High hole.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so let me tell you, I got I'm planning this Lifetime League tonight. It's my first game.
Wow.
Basketball. 35 and over league.
You want people to know where it is so they can go out and cheer you?
No, come on out. I'll be at the Folsom Lifetime later today, 7 o'clock tip off, you know? And then once my squad wins, light the beam. Light the beam. But I tell you what, I'm going to be obnoxious. I'm going to be a jerk in between the lines. I'm going to be Dylan Brooks. I'm going to get under the other team's skin. Because that's what I use to get me going, to get me fired up, and to take you out of the game. So I'm mentally preparing for this 7 o'clock tip-off right now.
You'll be on TV with a black eye.
I know, right? What happened to Drapes? He popped off at the wrong guy, right?
All right. So, yeah, check out Drapes tonight.
Yes, 7 o'clock, Folsom Lifetime. Your boy's going to be in his bag. It's funny. I told my son about my game. He's like, Dad, you're going to mess around and have a triple-double. I'm like, just like Ice Cube said, yep, I'm going to mess around and have a triple-double tonight. I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited. Yes.
How much will the Pelicans miss Zion? We have some surprising numbers on that. Right back with those. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.